The Survivor Specialists are back, and Blake and I today are going to be digging deeper into Survivor 47, episode number one, providing a little bit more analysis about certain moments. Blake had a very good idea for digging deeper last night on the podcast, and I forgot about it overnight. So we'll be talking about that a little bit in here. But right now, I kind of have this as boxes, keys, and losing it in the moment. I feel like those were the biggest topics. Everybody wants to talk about this progression idol. And everybody wants to talk about Andy losing his mind. What was going on with that? So that's going to be the stuff that we're talking about here. I thought it was a solid premiere overall, and I'm excited to dive in and talk more about everything here.
Let's dig deep. I do think the idol is kind of what we're talking about. Of people saw the idols be nasty and be like cursed. And between the four people that did come home with an idol last night, I think they got to see up to Tiffany. So they didn't see Venus go home right after that. So maybe they're like three idols back to back. Well, it's actually four or whatever it was. And like, I think that's the, hey, here's a box of idols. Which one would you choose? And I don't think before 46, I would be like, you got to go get an idol that you can use till final five every time. What's the point? But now it feels like if you're even sniffed out that you have an idol, if someone sees like, hey, you have a red feather that I've never seen. Nobody else has feathers. Is that from a idol? You'd be toast. Mm-hmm. So I think the progression of the meta for all you like super survivor people is it, if I have an idol, I want to use it immediately. And that's maybe why you would like stop at just one box in this new box challenge. And like, but I think it was also funny because somebody last night was like, if you have a one-time idol, yes, you have safety, but then everybody's going to be like, why didn't you tell us?
Yeah.
So what do you think, Phil?
So I actually did this for my after show for patrons. I recorded it already. I'm going to be putting it out tonight at 5. So for any of our top tier patrons, you'll get to hear that.
You did that at 11:37 p.m. last night?
No, I did it this morning. I recorded it this morning. It's noon here on the East Coast.
Oh, my God.
You need to be up and awake and doing all this right now. No, what I am... what I was pretty much saying is that's how I feel about it. I feel like if you go and you get this idol, you kind of have to tell people that you have the idol. You don't really have a choice but to do that. Because if you get the one-time idol and you don't tell people, they're not going to trust you. They're going to think that you're lying to them. And so it puts you in a weird position. Now, I've been saying pretty much the whole new era that idols aren't nearly as useful as people think they are. And we saw somebody like Jem last season come out and say beforehand, if I get an idol, I'm just going to play it. And then she comes out, gets an idol and does not play it and ends up getting sent packing. And that was the theme of the season. For me, I'd go out there and I just want to get the first one, because here's what also scares me. Getting the first part wasn't easy for Rome or Gabe. Rome had to, you know, do the water on whatever and then go to the well. And then Gabe had to get the key, the hook off the vine and all of that stuff, which like poor intern who had to climb to the top of that mountain to install that. That sucks. But my whole thinking is to get the final five idol, to get an idol that's good through that, to get a fully powered idol, what do you think they're going to have to do? I don't believe that it's going to be something that's at camp. I actually think that they're going to have to do something either at a challenge or something along those lines, which is going to be more difficult. Because if it's simply, oh, to get the final five idol, just go dig under your tribe camp. It's like, we've seen that before. Why do we just watch them go on this goose chase? Like, that's not all that much more intense. It's just a matter of making them do it. I think that you have to make it so that that last one is really hard and will really make people question whether or not they should do this. So you were talking about the meta and everything like that. I think that the meta of Survivor is going to lean towards more people not playing or going for these one-time idols if this continues to be an option in the future. Because you know that if you get an idol and you play the idol, Survivor in production, they're going to hide another idol. Like, there will be another one out there. They do that every time. So go ahead and let them hide the idol and then try to find it again. You've already found one. Keep going with your clues and stuff. So I think I would just use the first one, and especially after season 46, I am never holding an idol for more than an episode. I don't care. I don't care how confident I feel.
I like Goose Chase. Also, one other thing that I think this goes into the meta, and like maybe it's been happening or trending towards this for a while, but it feels like the average Survivor contestant just no longer accepts bullshit and is so like, I think if you told somebody on Survivor Amazon, like, yeah, I just went around the bend to like look for jaguars because like they're on our buff, but I haven't seen one in person yet. And I like maybe an alligator will be there, but I want to see a jaguar. People will be like, you're crazy. And like, even in like 42 or something, 44, whichever season it was, where it was like, I want to climb to the top of this rock and fall off. And they'd be like, they're looking for an idol. And it's like, no, that dude literally just wanted to climb to the top of a rock and fell off. Like, he's,
yeah,
he's just weird. But like you can't, I think that kind of sucks of like, you can't even enjoy yourself on the beach for a second anymore of your Fijian life of like, I just want to take in the tomorrow. And people would be like, Blake's dumbass just said he wanted to take in the tomorrow. I know he's looking for an idol and I can't trust him at all ever again. And like, maybe that is why people are ending up on their back sideways of like, I am so paranoid because this is kind of a vacation for me. Like, yes, it's a business trip and I want to win $1 million, which adjusted for inflation is basically only but like it's something where you're like, I want to, I think it's something like it's when you wake up, did somebody from your work already email you? Like, did you get to relax at all in any facet of your life, or are you getting to enjoy the small things? And I think Survivor has turned into, there is no time to enjoy the small things. And if you can find people on your tribe that let you enjoy the small things, or let you like, I'm excited to just get second place in a challenge. How about you guys? If somebody's like, this is unacceptable, we need to get first. It's just like, every single piece of the game has become, what is my expected value? Did I get every juice of the squeeze? I need this idol for 7 times, not 6. The EV of this is off. And like, I don't know if that's the type of person we're casting now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think we are casting very strong people.
Or if it's also like, there's only 26 days, so you have to get every single juice out of these berries. Because if you don't, you're toast. Like, it's getting to where it's almost like, I'm not trying to complain. I'm just trying to say, I think I would be extremely stressed out in these scenarios.
I think what's happening right now, and this is where I get it from, is I feel like Survivor players are being put into a constant state of paranoia. And it used to be 3-day cycles. So you weren't in a constant state of paranoia. You had days in between challenges to try to get your footing, to make relationships, to feel better about things. Now you don't have that ability. You're in a constant state of paranoia. And I think for somebody like Andy, who's coming out there, who has this dream vision in his head of how this is going to work and how this game is going to be played. And then it starts to go south. The only thing to do is lose it. And so the meta starts to get to you too, because then somebody like Andy starts saying to himself, I've seen this happen to people in the past. I'm the one who's having the mental breakdown on day 2 or on day 3 or whatever day it is. I'm the one who's going to go home because I couldn't keep it together. My Survivor dream is going to be over. This is a nightmare. I hate everything. Oh my God, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. What do I do? And there's nothing you can do. You just keep falling off. And so I do feel like because of the twists and stuff, like you even think about the Asia and TK thing in this episode, Asia has to go back knowing she's telling the truth, knowing that she has nothing to show for her journey, knowing that this has never happened in Survivor history before, knowing that this could put a target on her back. But what the hell is she supposed to do? there's nothing she can do. And I understand why production does it this way, because they want the Survivor players to be the ones who ultimately make the decisions. They don't want to be the ones who are making the decisions. If you want to come back and lie about something, great, come back and lie about something. Production's not going to be overly prescriptive with what they tell you to tell the tribe. They'll say they're going to go, they're going to compete in something to try to get you the supplies. But it puts somebody like Asia in a terrible spot right off the bat. And you're talking about you can't just enjoy the finer things on Survivor anymore. Well, who could at any, like, there's nobody who can, because now Asia comes back from this huge Survivor super fan and is immediately on the defensive. It's just defense, 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 defense. It's really, really fascinating how this is, like, how this new era is playing out. For the better and for the worse, we have seen way too many situations like Andy in the new era, though. And whether that's the game, whether that's the casting, whatever it is, they do need to kind of internalize and look and say, why are we having so many people have moments like Andy nowadays, when for the first 40 seasons of Survivor, it might have happened twice?
And I think it's just so sad of, like, I don't want my Survivor people to, like, have to be amazing at any, at like lying to do good at anything. It's almost the same thing of, like, I don't want my challenges to be so hard that people die every time. It's like, I almost don't want to put our not so great mental players in a unwinnable situation over and over again, because, like, and maybe I've advocated for the other stuff before, and it's like, now that I've seen this, it is kind of like, do I want an outburst like Andy? Like, yes, it was good TV, but you're also like, damn, that was actually pretty sad. Mm-hmm. And like I don't want anybody to ever be like on the, like, having a panic attack back to the ground and be like, Jeff, they were voting me out. Thank God I'm done. And Jeff's like, you're still in the game. He's like, oh, yeah, they're going to vote me out. And you're just like he doesn't even care in that scenario about, like, it's not that he has no shame. It's not that he has no mind of where he's at, but, like, he's literally talking to everybody of, like, I was out. These people hate me. They didn't cheer for me. And, like, I think even John Lovett going first is crazy for our new, like, meta of, like, the, everything that I read, saw, heard over the last 12 hours was, like, John Lovett is, like, such a good player that he went home first because they were worried about him. He was going to outplay you. And I'm like, how are you at final 18 and going, like, he would have won in the end? It's final 18. I had to make a move, or yeah, John Lovett would have eliminated me. Like, if that's what we're at right now, where it's like, I get Survivor is not, I keep saying vacation, so I'm going to say something different. Survivor is not easy, but it really feels like if we make our contestants feel miserable every second, that's kind of what the like environment's going to do. So, like, let's give them a little bit of a break here.
You know what's interesting too, I think, with the newer casting that they've done, they're putting a lot of people, and I don't want this to sound insensitive, so, like, please don't take it that way. It's just something I've noticed.
I would never, yeah.
Not you. I'm talking about the fans, because I don't want, like, this to, like, get around where it's like, Phil hates everything. No. I have noticed they're putting a lot of people on the show who have gone through some shit. Like, that is happening, right? We're getting a lot of people. I mean, like, I think about Jesse and Carla being on the same season. Like, Jesse, his story is, like, one of the best in the history of the show. And we're getting him on the same season with Carla, where she, you know, started off, like, her life wasn't good, goes to Cal Berkeley, does all these great things. Okay.
Even Keturah's story, Keturah, is legitimately crazy.
Yeah, Keturah's story, right, is wild. Like, we are getting some wild stories. But the one thing I'm noticing in the new era, and again, this isn't a knock, because everybody needs something, right? All of these people who are kind of getting out of their situations feel like they're having a helping hand. They're having somebody who is reaching out and saying, we're going to make your life better, and here's how we're going to do it. Whether that be a university that's reaching out, that's giving somebody like Jesse a chance, or somebody like Carla a chance, or Keturah finally, her mom saying, let's get out of this. We need to leave. There's somebody who's helping. And I think what's happening when you get onto Survivor, they're casting a lot of younger people. And what's also happening in today's American society and Canadian society, people are starting to start families much later. People aren't at, like, a 30-year-old nowadays might have more fun life experience, but doesn't necessarily have more serious life experience in the way that a 30-year-old 25 years ago would have. Because 25 years ago, these people might have already had families. People were dying younger. Like, who knows what was going on? There was just so much more. And so I think we're seeing that come through on the show now. Because I think what's happening is we are getting people who are being cast who have great backgrounds. And they're really, really like fun, compelling characters. But they've always had somebody to help them, guide them through their lives in some way, shape, or form. A lot of these people haven't had to do it on their own. And most people don't have to do everything on their own. But it seems like the biggest moments, it hasn't been, let me just figure it out myself. It's been a lot of, these people kind of help me. You get the Survivor, nobody gives a shit about you, your background, what you've been through, who's offering a helping hand, who's not. It does not matter to anybody who's on the island with you. And I think that's starting to come through. And I don't want to say it's an immaturity thing, but I also feel like somebody like Andy, that exact same type of character has played Survivor every season since season 5. And yet, we're starting all of a sudden in the last 5 seasons to see that character be the one who is having the panic attack or the mental break or whatever in these first episodes early on. And I don't know why that is, but it feels like there is some sort of disconnect that is happening between the casting process, the fan base, and what is actually taking place on the island. Because I don't think Survivor's harder than it was. I just think maybe the people they're putting on the show aren't as hardened by their lives as the people who used to be put on the show in the early days.
So we have two people we could focus on for this exact thought process, and it's Sue and Saul, because John's gone. So these are our two older people.
And I think John was doing good. I mean, that's something worth saying. I think John was doing good.
And like, Saul had one of my funniest moments last night of, okay, we got the boat with all three chests pulled up in a rope, and you see him literally putting in some of the most gargantuan effort you're going to see on this season, on episode 1, of basically pulling a boat with a rope completely. They get it to the thing. Jeff goes, you're good. And then he goes, every single person from Red sees the, you're good. And like, that should have been the end of the challenge.
Oh, yeah. You could see they were done.
And then Jeff goes, now you gotta move those chests over here. And Saul's face literally goes like he's about to start working overtime. Like his boss said, Saul, sorry, you're not going to go to your daughter's birthday. You have to do another 2 hours of work. And it was like Saul had had this happen to him 15 times in his life.
Yeah.
And you just see him mentally check out, check back in and go, I guess I'm moving these chests again. I've already touched these chests 3 times. Here we go. And like seeing that on your contestants' faces, Survivor's supposed to be hard, but it's not supposed to be unbearable, I think. And some of our seasons that got unbearable, Africa, those people were dying at final 6.
Yeah.
And like I've had so much diarrhea, a crazy story. Like we don't have that anymore. Of like, it's not good to watch people get within an inch of their life. Thank God we went back to the beach in Marquesas, or somebody maybe would have died on Jordan or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, it's something where I don't want to watch miserable people before they tell me their like actual story. Like, right. Like let's get the miserability on episode 9 after we've gotten rid of a couple people that I personally would be miserable in anything. Don't cast me for Survivor. Like that's something that I'm kind of coming to as a reality of thank God I work in reality TV, or I would have been applying for these shows for 8 years for constant like disappointment. But like, I should not be on Survivor. And some people like me are starting to be cast all the time, and they're not cut out for this.
Well, and I think this is a fun one here. We got Clutch Hattrick, who says, I'm only 25, but fact is people my age are typically pretty soft, myself included. And then that's followed up with John Stallings, who says, I'm a 67-year-old retired USPS letter carrier with 34 years of civil service, and I def could not last 3 days in Fiji. Those are back-to-back comments from two people who are born 42 years apart. But I think what's very interesting about that is these are two people who seem to know themselves. I think what's happening with Survivor and with other reality TV is people used to go on reality TV for the adventure of it, not for the fame of it. And I think what's happening is because Survivor has become so much more of a game, a strategic game, rather than like a survival experience. You're not fishing and doing all that stuff to the extent that you used to be doing. People now want to go on it because they want to kind of launch careers off of it. And I mean, look at Ben Katzman. Ben Katzman goes on last season. He's not even one of the biggest people on the season, but he gets the final three. Now he's in Rolling Stone. He's got Stereo Gum doing stuff for him. He's playing at Hopscotch Music Festival. Like, he's doing a bunch of shit. Good for him. I'm happy to see those kinds of things happen. But at the same time, we're starting to see people who are saying, oh, I can go play reality TV. It's just reality TV. And I don't think they're understanding the actual difficulty of playing reality TV. I think it's just, oh, good, I would love to do this. And they get on the shows and they go, oh, shit, this is real. This is hard. I mean, Jeff was talking about that at the beginning of this episode, using Community way too much. He got a little obsessed with that. But it's just like, those are, I don't know if people actually know themselves to the extent that they think they know themselves when they're going out there. And I think that's what's leading to a lot of people losing it. And like, I'm not picking on Andy. Like, I don't want to be picking on Andy, but it's just, we have this comment from Nostalgia up here a while ago. It's crazy how normal first episode panic attack or medevac, et cetera, has become in the new era. And it is so normal now.
And legitimately, I don't know if we want to count up of the seven, how many have this. It's not two and it's not seven, but it's Bruce, somewhere in between.
Jackson, Brandon, and Hannah. Hannah quits, but Brandon had the panic attack on the boat.
Andy
tonight. Who was season 41? Nobody in season 41. They actually, believe it or not, season 41 for the shit show that it was, they were fine. Jackson was 42. Who was 43? Who was first boot in 43?
That's
Mariah. That was fine. So 43 didn't have one at all. So it was, but there's five people who have gone through this that we've at least seen. There could be even more. There's five people who have gone through this in seven seasons of Survivor. And honestly, what about Jess last season? Like, what about Jess? Like, Jess was a walking zombie on that season last year, and she was only there for two episodes. So,
I think to refocus of what I'm trying to say is like, we were talking about this last night where our friend Alexa was like, it is kind of cool to watch the two elite swimmers in 39 swim off. Of we have one who's Olympic qualified and one who's swam every day of their life as a number one lifeguard. Mm-hmm. And like, we just don't see that anymore. And not that I'm yearning for those two people to come back on the show, but what I'm trying to say is like, it was cool to watch Jonathan Goldman or whatever his last name is, where it was like, he is so strong. And like, but then even that season, it was like the challenges were so hard for the other tribe. Like, remember when they almost drowned everybody and they were like, we got to stop.
Season and like, 42, dude. Yeah.
Like
crazy.
Like, this is kind of funny here because I'm passed out in the back. I'm not even a puzzle person. I don't think Andy was even actually in the game at that point. He's passed out as his tribe mates are doing the puzzle. And Jeff goes over to him. And there's a moment where Sam goes, are we still playing?
Yeah.
And Jeff goes, of course. Like, what are you talking about? I'll let you know if we stop. And just like, it's so normal to these people of like, either you're not getting briefed or you're not getting vetted, or I don't want to get into the background stuff of like did the doctors not know Andy, or was like, what did the doctors sign off on Andy when they weren't supposed to, or like,
and I don't feel like Andy, I don't feel like Andy's actually in danger. I don't feel like he's in danger to himself. No. I don't feel like he's in danger to anybody else. I don't feel like he's, I don't feel like he's not capable of doing this.
What I am actually saying here to get off of this point is, if you have 18 people on the show and you're an EP or you're a Jeff P, do you go, there's three on here that we're a little worried about. Why are they on the show then? Maybe it is time to just, let's go to our alternates who are more mentally sound and mentally savvy. Then this person could have some really good jokes, because it feels like we're going for jokes over like sound. And like, I guess that makes sense of like, do you want somebody crazy like Andy to be on? Like, I would love to hear the behind the scenes of like, we thought Andy was so important to have on the season that like, even though he's gonna like, I don't think Andy's getting fourth place here. I think Andy is probably toast next week, or 16 or 15. Like, I'm of the mind of, I'm just gonna say he's leaving. As, and like, if he has a wonderful story, if he's the Banu that could, of like, actually, this is, this tribe is so strong now, and they just start beating Red every time, and Red gets decimated, and Andy makes it to 10, and everyone's like, Andy, that was pretty crazy. And he's like, I know,
dude.
Everyone, like, thank God we got rid of John, though. We're so much stronger, and everyone really likes me. And Rachel's like, oh my God, Andy is like, if all of those come out, egg on my face completely. But how does Andy make it to 15? And I don't know if it was like, we want more Banu scenarios, because at that point they did see how Banu was received by the fan base, of maybe that is how we want our pre-merge to go, of I want to put somebody on the show that has no shot of winning, but will make the pre-merge so interesting that you can't ignore these episodes. And that is super interesting to some people. But like, Brandon Hance, I mentioned him last night, I'm going to mention him again. I think the smart thing about this is, you don't want more Brandon Hance scenarios. You want to put your people in scenarios where they don't have to deal with people like that, or situations like that. And Andy's scenario is more Brandon Hance than not Brandon Hance.
Yeah. And I think again, what it also comes down to is, we got to find the balance, right? And I have been, I am the ultimate silver fox male player archetype defender of all time. Gary Hogaboom could go on my Rushmore. Terry Dietz, Andrew Savage, Tom Westman. Like, I love this archetype. I think it is a very good archetype to see on Survivor. Because what I love about that archetype is, you get to see people who are incredibly good in their regular lives. Like, all of those people have had unbelievable success in their regular lives. They have been leaders in multiple ways. You have a quarterback for a football team. You got a fighter pilot, the leader of a fire department, you know, whatever, squadron, whatever you call it. Like, you have, these are like the alpha levels. And what's interesting is, when those types of players get to play with some of these Andy type players, they're kind of able to lift the Andy type players up. And I know that Savage versus Ryan, Skinny Ryan, isn't exactly the best example of this. What about Savage versus Lil? Savage tries with Lil. Lil is just insane. And then eventually Lil gets voted out, but then Lil comes back into the game, and we all know how that works out. But I do think what's missing a lot of time is, on that yellow tribe, who is your rock on that tribe? There is none. Sam is
John Lovett.
John Lovett's 41 years old, and everybody, and he's talking about how he's awkward and weird and all this stuff, and he doesn't necessarily fit in. Sam Phelan is 24 years old. He might be built great, but he's 24 years old. Sierra, I think, is probably your next closest thing. Annika wants to be a leader, but I don't think she's the type of person you're going to look at as a leader. And so here's what I'm saying is, if you have a leader, older type person on these tribes, like Saul, I actually think that that can help the younger people who are struggling because they don't feel like they have to do it all.
Right. And so the other tribes have Sue and Saul, and Yellow just got left with John Lovett,
who is
neurotic himself.
And let me see how old he is. And you're talking Survivor.
I mean, Jeff Probst, that's a good thought process in the chat of like, Jeff Probst was the older person for Andy of like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And like TK, he's 31 years old, but I feel like he gives off a little bit older energy. So like, you know, you could even argue over on the Blue Tribe, you have that. But I think you need that because here's the thing. Let's be real. I'm 32 years old. If I went out onto Survivor, I would feel a hell of a lot better if I had a Tom Westman type on my tribe because I'd feel confident that we're going to get shit done. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm like not of 2024, but that's just how I feel. I would love to have a firefighter.
This makes sense. Because what you're saying, Andy's 31. You're 32. Phil, you get put on a tribe for Survivor, but you're the most important dude on your tribe. You probably crumble immediately.
Our tribe sucks.
If I'm the most best dude on my tribe, or I'm the one who we need for physical strength, I'm walking out because
100%.
Who got cast besides me?
And that's what I'm saying. Like these tribes have no one to look to right now. And I'm not saying that this has to be an older guy who's a leader. Janet Carbon was a freaking leader on her tribe. Janet Carbon was somebody you could look to and feel confident in. Or you know what? Give me the 32-year-old who's been deployed in Afghanistan. You know what I mean? Like, give me that person. You can just sit there and say, shit, this person is going to get it done. Sabaya was that person in season 45. While her tribe was crumbling, Sabaya was giggling because she was just like, what is happening? And yes, that tribe continued to fall apart. But I think that's also because Sabaya doesn't necessarily look like the normal type of person that you would go to be like, Sabaya, save us, help us. This is what I'm saying. You just summed it up perfectly. If I go out there on Survivor, and I am the oldest man on my tribe, and I am supposed to be the wise one, we're fucked. like it's over. And I think that's what's happening a lot. There's a lot of people who are going out into these situations who are having this happen, and the moment is killing them. And we saw it happen with Andy. We saw it happen with Brandon. We saw it happen with Hannah. We saw it happen with Sean on that season. We've seen it happen time and time again. And I do think having that comfort person, it doesn't have to be like Saul fits it. Saul's a calm 41-year-old dude who's like, whatever. It doesn't have to be something over the top.
Because Caleb on Lulu.
Yes.
Like, I'm a good dude. I hike, I work out, I have a good job, I'm a good person. Caleb, you're the best dude on your tribe. It's like, fuck, we're gonna lose all
this. Yeah, we're gonna lose. And that's not like
the effort just comes out because I think you are that frustrated if you're Caleb.
Yeah,
of like
exactly. God. Because you feel like the pressure's on you to be the one. And I think that's where Survivor's gotten away. Survivor needs to go back to casting that 45-year-old cop slash firefighter who is going to, even if they're psycho like Tony was, he's going to be that person who can lead. Sarah Lucina was this. Like Sarah Lucina in Game Changers was so even keeled. It was honestly a little sociopathic. Like she was so damn good. So I don't know. I feel like casting needs to look at that. And I think that would be beneficial. I think that would be beneficial to people like Andy on the show. Because you know what? Here's what happens. Let's say Terry Dietz, and I'm just using Terry as the example. But let's say there's a Terry Dietz type on Andy's tribe. And that's who Andy tries to go to in the middle of the night. Terry's going to react one of two ways. He's either going to say, let me help you out, buddy. It's okay. Like, I'll take you under the wing, but I'm probably going to vote you out later. Or, dude, I got no patience for this. I got kids at home who can do better. Get the hell out of here. One of those two. If he reacts the first way, good. Andy's feeling comfortable, even though he's probably going to be the first person booted off. If he reacts the second way, the rest of the tribe might be like, who the hell does this guy think he is to talk to Andy that way? it works out good for Andy in both of these scenarios. I think they need to just look at that. And I think they need to seriously consider that, because I do think that that will stop. And it's funny, though, because as we talk about it, Bruce was one of the people who got medevac because he smashed his head into the damn pole. But that's also a one-off, and that's random. And honestly, that tribe kept it together pretty good, because Carolyn and Jam Jam, they are the types of people who have been through stuff. Like, they have experienced it, and I think they did a good job. So anyway, that's all just to say, like, woo. And another thing, and Blake, I don't know. I feel like a lot of times too, like when we hear people talk about, this is where I grew up, this is what I had to overcome, a lot of it nowadays is very heavily into like the LGBT community. There's a lot of that now on Survivor. And I do feel like when you are able to overcome that and you know, like get and start to feel like yourself and who you really want to be, you do normally start to get a really good support system around you that makes you feel better about it. And so you might have the really hard times that then there's like the support that starts to build you up. And what I feel like is on Survivor, when there's not that support system that's like got your back, you could start to revert back to how you felt earlier. And Goombas puts it perfectly. So you're saying they need a glue guy in each tribe. And that's exactly what I'm saying.
Wait, maybe Sam actually isn't a glue guy. Yeah. And we're going to see how much of he's not a glue guy as he gets to the end and doesn't get any votes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we didn't have anybody. Jeff didn't go to anybody and say, one of you will get to the end and get no votes this year.
No, because Jeff was like, have you guys seen Lost? You know what the others are? They built a community on an island, and now we're going to build a community. Have you guys watched Community? Community. Good show. Community. By the way, communities, community. I was like, dude, stop saying the word community. Like, I don't need this. Anyway, that's all he was talking about.
Thanks to the Survivor Specialist community for tuning in.
I do appreciate all that. Do you have anything else you want to say about this, or should we just wrap this up and give our patron plugs?
The final thought for me is, if Ben Katzman had talked to Kinsey Petty and she goes, bro, stop, people are going to think we're in an alliance. Ben Katzman freaks out at like final seven and goes home.
Here's the funny thing about that, though.
Andy doesn't get that from Rachel.
Ben has stated, though, that
multiple people helped
him. Multiple people have helped him through. And so I think that's where Andy dug himself a little bit of a hole, is Andy said, I only need two people, so I'm only going to talk to two people. You should have probably went and talked to more people, because then you'd backed yourself into a corner.
All the people that helped Ben Katzman made it to the end with him, though. Mm-hmm. So when you are on Survivor for season 51, helping people is better than harming them.
Yeah.
And if you want to live your life like you could live on Survivor, let's start helping people in our local communities instead of hurting them or watching them flounder.
Or
Blake Meyer for president.
Or help support this podcast by becoming a patron. Patreon.com/thespecialist. Jump on in, tune in. I think this will be we have so much stuff going on. Like I said, I'm releasing my after show today at 5:00. Australian Survivor going on every Friday, Q&As. Right now we're doing Every Season Matters with Palau, Survivor Rewind, Casting Perspective, Survivor Rock Draw. We have so much stuff going on. Movie podcast, which if you haven't
Big
checked
Brother
out,
Eviction tonight.
Big Brother Eviction. That's on YouTube. If you haven't checked out John and I, we did a top 10 island movies. So go check that out. Actually, you know, turned out pretty good. And we're going to do top 10 underrated horror movies on our next episode, which will be next Monday. So a lot going on. I'm live with Liz Wilcox on Sunday at 4 p.m. doing predictions and power rankings. I'm sure that will be a good time. Hopefully she brings Applebee's boneless wings, because I'm going to have some of my own. So I'm ready to roll. That's it. Thank you all so much. Become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. If you become a patron now too, you can jump at the top tier only, but you can jump in and become playing our power rankings game, which we start up before week two. So this is a good time to become a patron. Thank you all so much. Hope that was nice. Nostalgic, as he says, so much content, patron. It's almost overwhelming. Almost. Imagine sitting here with the schedule in front of you. That's when Blake gets his text on like the 4 minutes he has off every week. And I'm like, hey man, guess what we need to do? And Blake's just like, dude, if you text me again. But anyway, like the video, subscribe to the channel. And
I just lay down on my bed and go.
Yeah.
And he's gave everything. I gave everything to this podcast.
Anyway, bye, everybody.
Run me my $1 million check.
There it is. $80 to.